Hello, this is episode 158 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome back. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you're enjoying our time together. Today we'll read Psalm 78, and this week our Bible translation is the Common English Bible. Let's begin. Psalms chapter 78. Listen, my people, to my teaching. Tilt your ears towards the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a proverb. I'll declare riddles from days long gone, ones that we've heard and learned about, ones that our ancestors told us. We won't hide them from their descendants. We'll tell the next generation all about the praise due the Lord and His strength, the wondrous works God has done. He established a law for Jacob and set up instruction for Israel, ordering our ancestors to teach them to their children. This is so that the next generation and children not yet born will know these things, and so they can rise up and tell their children to put their hope in God, never forgetting God's deeds, but keeping God's commandments, and so that they won't become like their ancestors, a rebellious, stubborn generation, a generation whose heart wasn't set firm and whose spirit wasn't faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, armed with bows, retreated on the day of battle. They didn't keep God's covenant. They refused to walk in His instruction. They forgot God's deeds as well as the wondrous works He showed them. But God performed wonders in their ancestors' presence, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. God split the sea and led them through, making the waters stand up like a wall. God led them with a cloud by day, by the lightning all through the night. God split rocks open in the wilderness, gave them plenty to drink, as if from the deep itself. God made streams flow from the rock, made water run like rivers. But they continued to sin against God, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their hearts, demanded food for their stomachs. They spoke against God. "Can God set a dinner table in the wilderness?" they asked. True, God struck the rock and water gushed and streams flowed, but can He give bread too? Can He provide meat for His people? When the Lord heard this, He became furious. A fire was ignited against Jacob. Wrath also burned against Israel because they had no faith in God, because they didn't trust His saving power. God gave orders to the skies above, opened heaven's doors, and rained manna on them so they could eat. He gave them the very grain of heaven. Each person ate the bread of the powerful ones. God sent provisions to satisfy them. God set the east wind moving against the skies and drove the south wind by His strength. He rained meat on them as if it were dust in the air. He rained as many birds as the sand on the seashore. God brought the birds down in the center of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were completely satisfied. God gave them exactly what they had craved. But they didn't stop craving, even with the food still in their mouths. So God's anger came up against them. He killed the most hardy of them. He cut down Israel's youth in their prime. But in spite of all that, they kept sinning and had no faith in God's wondrous works. So God brought their days to an end, like a puff of air, and their years in total ruin. But whenever God killed them, they went after Him. They would turn and earnestly search for God. They would remember that God was their rock, that the Most High was their Redeemer. But they were just flattering Him with lip service. They were lying to Him with their tongues. Their hearts weren't firmly set on Him. They weren't faithful to His covenant. But God, being compassionate, kept forgiving their sins, kept avoiding destruction. He took back His anger so many times. Wouldn't stir up all His wrath. God kept remembering that they were just flesh, just breath that passes and doesn't come back. How often they rebelled against God in the wilderness and distressed Him in the desert. Time and time again they tested God, provoking the Holy One of Israel. They didn't remember God's power, the day when He saved them from the enemy. How God performed His signs in Egypt, His marvelous works in the field of Zoan. God turned their rivers into blood. They couldn't drink from their own streams. God sent swarms against them to eat them up, frogs to destroy them. God handed over their crops to caterpillars, their land's produce to locusts. God killed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. God delivered their cattle over to disease, their herds to plagues. God unleashed his burning anger against them, fury, indignation, distress, a troop of evil messengers. God blazed a path for his wrath. He didn't save them from death, but delivered their lives over to disease. God struck down all of Egypt's oldest males. In Ham's tents, he struck their pride and joy. God led his own people out like sheep, guiding them like a flock in the wilderness. God led them in safety. They were not afraid, but the sea engulfed their enemies. God brought them to his holy territory, to the mountain that his own strong hand had acquired. God drove out the nations before them and apportioned property for them. He settled Israel's tribes in their tents. But they tested and defied the Most High God. They didn't pay attention to his warnings. They turned away, became faithless just like their ancestors. They twisted away like a defective bow. They angered God with their many shrines. They angered him with their idols. God heard and became enraged. He rejected Israel utterly. God abandoned the sanctuary at Shiloh, the tent where he had lived with humans. God let his power be held captive, let his glory go to the enemy's hand. God delivered his people up to the sword. He was enraged at his own possession. Fire devoured his young men, and his young women had no wedding songs. God's priests were killed by the sword, and his widows couldn't even cry. But then my Lord woke up as if he'd been sleeping. Like a warrior shaking off wine, God beat back his foes. He made them an everlasting disgrace. God rejected the tent of Joseph and didn't choose the tribe of Ephraim. Instead, he chose the tribe of Judah, the mountain of Zion, which he loves. God built his sanctuary like the highest heaven and like the earth, which he established forever. And God chose David, his servant, taking him from the sheepfolds. God brought him from shepherding nursing ewes to shepherd his people, Jacob, to shepherd his inheritance, Israel. David shepherded them with a heart of integrity. He led them with the skill of his hands. May God bless the reading of his word. This psalm is credited not to King David, but to Asaph. It talks about the importance of passing along from generation to generation what God has done, and how the people of Israel fell away when they weren't reminded about how God delivered them, and how they even fell away when it was right in their faces. Asaph recounts how God delivered them from bondage in Egypt, and how he led them through the desert. How they quickly forgot their miraculous deliverance and worshiped false gods. And Asaph reminds the reader how God's anger came against the people, and how his judgment against them was harsh, how he killed many of them. He recounts how time and time again they provoked God. And then Asaph tells how God chose David to lead his people, and how David led with integrity. I'd like to point out something that many people often forget when discussing, quote, the God of the Old Testament, unquote. Many think of the Old Testament God as angry, violent, and harsh. Well, first of all, remember how the people repeatedly spat in his face, even after he would deliver them in a miraculous fashion. After a while, wouldn't you become angry if someone you cared for repeatedly turned away from you? But here's the thing. God always said, "If you will turn from your wicked ways, I will forgive you and bless you." And this he did every single time. They would sin, he would become angry and tell them, "Turn from your ways, and I'll bless you." They would return to him, and he would accept them back. God loved his people even when they were so unfaithful. He always wooed them back because of his great love for them. And we know that he ultimately provided his only son as a final sacrifice to cover not just Israel's sin, but the sin of every person who would accept that sacrifice and gift. The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. He is a God of love. A righteous God, yes. A holy God, yes. But also a God of love. Tomorrow we'll read Deuteronomy 33, and I hope you'll join me. If you'd like to write to me, my email is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Remember, there's a Facebook group at lifespringmedia.com/Facebook, and my Twitter handle is _SteveWeb with 2 B's _. I answer every email and respond to almost every comment on Facebook and Twitter. Please don't forget to leave an honest review at iTunes. It really would help me out. For a quick link to leave your iTunes review, just go to lifespringmedia.com/love. And as always, I'll thank you in advance right now for taking a couple of minutes to do that. Also, if you'll go to the show notes page at lifespringmedia.com, each entry for the Lifespring Family Bible and every entry for every show in the Lifespring Media family has easy links for you to share that episode, and I hope you'll do that as well. If you like what we're doing here, share the episodes with your friends on Facebook, Twitter, etc. All the links are there at lifespringmedia.com. So I hope you'll be back tomorrow, and until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.